Him, give him all the glory and praise because he is worthy. Amen. Thank you for coming out today. And if I've been running around like a chicken with the head cut off, that's probably correct. But we are grateful that God has given us this opportunity. Before I get into the message, we do have a thank you that came from one of our college students that graduated. This is from Regan Younger. Regan Younger and the family. Thanking the church for remembering them in the passing of their grandparents, Paul and Annie Younger. So we ask that you be in prayer for them. Also, be in prayer for Miss Theala Parrish. We had an opportunity to share with her on this past week, and she is in dire situations, and we ask that you would pray for her as she is struggling and in the last phases of this life, but a new beginning God has given us through his word. Amen. Pray also for our oldest members of the church, Mrs. Ruby Mickles. Pray for her. She's our oldest member of the church. And then Ms. Olivia Hughes, also one of our older members. She's right behind her, so they're into their late 90s. And we just ask that you pray for them and ask that God would keep his hand of favor and blessing over everyone. Thank you all for coming out today. Thank for those that are joining us online through Facebook and through Zoom. I forgot last night to set up the Zoom meeting, and so I had to rush and try to get everything in place. So there are members that are joining us online through Zoom, and then later on today, they'll be able to visit the website and have the entire live service be given to them online. But I want to invite your attention to something that's been on my heart all week. It's from Psalm 121, and I've entitled this message, "Oh, to be kept by Jesus." Kept by the power of God. Kept from the world unspotted, treading where Jesus had trod. Oh, to be kept by Jesus, Lord, at thy feet I would fall. I would be nothing, nothing, nothing. Thou shall be all and all. How many of y'all have heard that old hymn? Oh, to be kept by Jesus. I know a couple of you have. And what a wonderful song it is, but what a wonderful revelation it is to know that we are being kept by God. Not just watched over in a sense of ambiguity, but we are kept by the hand of Almighty God. Now, a lot of us, we can say that theologically, but when we talk about practically, God Almighty watching over you and me, all to be kept by Jesus. These words are recorded in Psalm 121, verses 4 through 5. And we remember that psalm opening with the words, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." But in verses 4 and 5, he says, "Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on the right hand." Can I get a witness to that? God is your keeper. We know that there are people that can proclaim it, but do you apply it? Do you say that that is a living reality in your life, that the Lord Jesus Christ is your keeper? Americans pay nearly $21 billion each year for home security systems just to feel that they are safe. And just in case the home security doesn't work, they pay another $17 billion every year in ammunition so that they can get a backup from Smith & Wesson and Browning. Do we have any witnesses in the house? Now, if you think that that is a small number. Notice I didn't say million, I said billion. Billion. Compared to our military, that is an astronomical amount that people will buy just to feel that they are saved, that they are being kept. But let me ask you a couple of questions here. How can we protect ourselves when we are frail, fragile, and forgetful? What good is a gun if you sleep? What good is it to say that you have an alarm system and your power goes out? Do I have any witnesses here? How can we protect ourselves when our greatest enemies are not seen by the natural eye? What systems will we put in place that can offer security in knowing that we are fully secured? Well, the answer is found here, folded in the pages of this Bible, wrapped up in this psalm where it says to you and me, behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. Say that with me. The Lord is my keeper. Yes, he is. The Lord is your shade upon your right hand. I want us to examine something today when we look at these questions that we're faced with. How can we draw protection? We find that the Lord is the one that builds the house and the one that labors. If you are laboring in vain, trying to keep yourself safe, it is the Lord that watches over the city. Otherwise, the watchman wakes, but in vain. I'm glad today that we can say that the Lord is our keeper. The Lord is the one that made us. And I want to examine a couple of things today as we look at this, because we can say from that theological viewpoint, the Lord is my keeper. That sounds good, but do you know why? Do you really fully understand? Do you embrace what it means for the Lord to be your keeper? I want you to look at a couple of things today. Write these down. First of all, God keeps us because he knows us. God keeps us because he knows us. He knows everything about you. But then also, God keeps us because he knows our enemy. He knows those forces that would come against us and to destroy us. But then thirdly, God keeps us because of his wonderful plan, his extraordinary plan that he has for our lives. But then lastly, I want to close with the fact that God keeps us because he loves us. God keeps us because he loves us. Let us look at this first proposition that we're making today. God keeps us because he knows who you are. Not only has God numbered the hairs on your head, not only has God numbered the days in your life and he knows every heartbeat, but God knows your faults. He knows your weaknesses. He knows everything about you. He knows your habits and little things about you that you think nobody else knows but you. But the Lord knows you. I wish you'd look at somebody and say, the Lord knows you. Patrick Morley, in his book, The Man in the Mirror, made an amazing observation. He says that while the Christians in this world, they are a Christian minority, and they want to evangelize the entire world, he says also the world wants to evangelize you. It has you on its list. It wants to enlist you. And so the Lord knows your leanings. You'd better know that the strategist, the devil, has already figured you out. He knows what kind of habits you have. Now, he's not going to tempt you with what I'm tempted with. He's not going to attack you with what I'm attacked with, but he has his own plan to conquer you. And he destroys all of those that are not close to the Lord. But isn't it good to know that the Lord is your keeper? The Lord is your shade upon the right hand. He knows when you get worn down. He knows when you're frustrated. He knows when you're tired. He knows your uprising. He knows your downsetting. God knows everything about you. In Psalm 139, verses 1 through 3, the psalmist said, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Isn't it good to know that once God knows you, he doesn't just write you off, but he writes you up so he can treat you, so he can take care of you. You have searched me, Lord, and you've known me. You know my downsitting. You know my uprising. When you understand my thoughts are far off or from a distance, you are acquainted with all of my ways. Thank God he knows us. And even all the things that we do in life and the things that we do to even hurt ourselves, God still knows us. And sometimes His greatest protection is given so that we don't destroy ourselves. Oh, y'all not going to pray with me today. But not only does God keep us because He knows us, but God keeps us because He knows our enemy. While we think and when we pray sometimes, Lord, do you know what the devil is doing? Do you know what the folks on my job is doing? Do you know all the things that's happening to me? And the answer is, yeah, He does know. Some things He allows to happen to make you stronger. But the other things that God will allow is just a matter of time before the Lord comes in and He defeats that enemy that is in your life. We often sing the song, His eye is on the sparrow and He watches over us. That is a symbol of God's protection. And right here in this Psalm 121, which is a part of what we call the Song of Degrees, the Israelites, when they were on their way to worship in Jerusalem, while they were on their way to a praise time to really recognize in one of their festivals, they would sing these psalms. There are 15 of them from 120 all the way to 134. And while they would sing these songs, it's kind of like when we were out in the field. Wait a minute, I'm talking to city folk. Excuse me, let me talk to the folk over here. When we were out in the field and you got tired, you would sing those worship songs. The Lord will make a way. All right, come on now. Now let's let the city folk know why we sung those songs. You were tired, but you were on your way to a better day. You were on your way because you knew that God would take care of you. You knew that God would take you in His arms and He would guide you. They would sing these songs while they were on their way to Jerusalem. But they sung them because they wanted to recognize that the Lord was their keeper. The Lord was the one that watched over them. And so they asked the question in the song, will I lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help? Is that where my help comes from? Then he answers in verse 2, no. My help comes from the Lord. Now, while they were on their way to Jerusalem, they saw these hills, but they also saw these shrines where people would worship idol gods. And the word idol, I'm going to spell it in two ways. One, I-D-O-L, what people worship. But then the second part, I-D-L-E, because they couldn't do anything. How many of you will ever put confidence in something that couldn't really do anything? But when your confidence is in God, when your help comes from the Lord, you know that He's a waymaker, burden bearer, friend, doctor, lawyer, anything you need Him to be, God is a provider in your life. Do we have any witnesses out there? It's good to see y'all today. It's good to see you. So the Lord knows our enemy. He knows when your enemy is getting ready to attack. As a matter of fact, one time in the Old Testament, God would tap the prophet on the shoulder and the prophet would go tell the preacher, or would go tell the king rather, the preacher would tell the king, now watch out because your enemy is getting ready to attack you. How many of you have ever been in a place where you felt like you were in danger and God just gave you a spirit of discernment and He began to enlighten you, said, wait a minute, you don't need to go this way, you need to go in a different direction. And when people would talk to you, they sounded real good, but something down in your spirit said, wait a minute, something is wrong with this conversation. How many of you have ever been there? That's because your Lord is telling you about your enemy so that your enemy can't do you no harm. Do I have some country folk that can say amen in here? But not only does God keep us because He knows our enemy and because He knows us, God keeps us because of His amazing plan. This psalm is not only telling us that the Lord can make a way, but in verse 8, it begins to tell us that the Lord shall preserve you and He'll preserve your going out and your coming in. God will preserve you, your going out and coming in from this time forth. But wait a minute, let's stop right there. What if you just only knew that day by day, God was going to preserve your going out and you're coming in? That would satisfy a little bit, but it wouldn't say anything about the future. Are y'all still in the house? God looked at your life And God, this amazing God, said to you and me, I'm not just going to take care of you today, but my plan is to take care of you tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. You say, well, Lord, what if I die? If you die, then you come to be with me. Oh, y'all, you're not gonna shout up in here. You're not gonna praise him. There are a lot of folk that are anxious and say, what's gonna happen? We got all this corona. Yeah, we got corona, but we also got Jesus. Oh, to be kept by Jesus. When you know that you're being kept by God, you're not anxious. You don't allow things to get on your nerve. A lot of us want to know, how long is our Social Security going to last? Some of us want to know, will our Medicare benefits be there? Sorry, young folk, this ain't for you right now. You just keep paying into it, and we'll keep enjoying. Some of y'all young ones don't know what we're talking about, but those of us over 65, help that baby work, Lord. Help them to refund this plan here. A lot of us are concerned. If you go to the doctor, you want to know not only will he help you, but do you have coverage? Do I have some folks in here? You go out in life and you don't know who's going to get mad at you for road rage and try to take your life. Everywhere you turn, you're in jeopardy. But if you know that the God that took care of you yesterday is going to take care of you not only today, but tomorrow, and on into the future. Let me reread this verse. It says, I'm about to get happy here. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth. Can y'all help me say the last part? And even forevermore. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And it doesn't stop there. It says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come on, shout somebody in here. If God is real, let the folk know that he's real. And he's going to keep you. He's going to keep you. What if I get in trouble? He's going to keep you. Amen. If the devil gets you in trouble, God can get you out of trouble. I don't have any shouting folk in here. But when you know that the Lord is in charge, God has said, I've looked at your life. I saw the day you were born, and the day you were born, I loved you. Which brings us to the last one. God not only keeps us because he knows us, and he knows our enemy. God not only keeps us because he's got a plan. You know, you can have a plan to keep stuff, but you don't have to be emotionally attached to it. Oh, y'all don't know what I'm talking about here. How many of y'all ever liked something so much that the older it got, the more you loved it? That's what I tell my wife every day. And she says, same to you. But it's amazing how God not only valued you as a creation, but he values you in this relationship. He values to be around you. He wants to be near you. He wants to talk to you. God, thing is going to be all right. Isn't that something? That this powerful God, all-powerful God, who made the universe, could be doing anything he wants. He wants to spend time with you and me. Now this verse is not in 121. This verse is in John 3:16. And of all the verses that God could have told about how he felt about us, he said this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I like y'all a lot. Amen. I really do. I don't want you to get twisted on this thing. I really like y'all a lot, but I'm not going to die for you. I'm sorry. But this God that we serve said, I love you enough to where I'm willing to sacrifice to save you. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Another place Jesus said, greater love than no man hath than to lay down his life for his friends. John picked it up a little bit later when he wanted to talk about the love of God. He said, oh, what great love God hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Isn't that something? Clap your hands if you believe it. Going back to what our original statement was, let me ask you a question. I'm not telling you that you need to call ADT and cancel your subscription, but $21 billion for security is still not going to keep you totally secure. And I'm not telling you you need to get rid of your gun. I'm thinking about buying one myself. At times like these, amen, amen. But $17 billion a year in ammunition still can't save you. The only one that can deliver you, his name is Jesus. Oh, to be kept by Jesus. And the thing I like about it, in that Psalm 121, it says he neither slumbers nor sleeps. Now, let me tell you what God did when he saved you. When God saved you, he put you in a special place. A lot of us don't understand the concept of love. When we love something, we put it in a special place. My wife loved doll babies because she didn't have a lot of them when she was growing up. I'm talking about it. She's looking at us online. And so with the doll babies that you used to have, you know, they used to have a head that you could take off of them. And then you could, if you lost your ball, the one you bought from the five and dime store, you could take a doll baby head and play ball with it. And that's what we used to do. I know y'all saying, oh, that's terrible. No, that's baseball. Do I have any witnesses here? So my wife loved doll babies because she didn't have a lot of them growing up. So she got these little dolls and got them on display and all of that. She loves dolls and she puts them in a special place. God loved you so much that he didn't want to put you in a vault. He didn't want to put you in a little display case. God put you close to his heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. He put you close to his heart so that now when you call on God and you say, God, do you understand? The heartbeat of God is to love you. God loved you so much that he's willing to give you everything. And all he asked for you, just give me your heart. I gave you mine. Now you give me your heart. And let me, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. When you give your heart to God, your heart cannot be in a better place. He ain't going to break your heart like that little boyfriend you had, that girlfriend you had when you was in school. God's not going to break your heart, but he's a heart fixer. He's a mind regulator. If you trust him, he'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. He'll tell you that you are his own and the joy that you share. As you tarry there, none other has ever known. I'm finished preaching now, but all to be kept by Jesus. Kept by the power of God. Kept from the world unspotted. Y'all know you got, y'all got the little kids. When we used to get ready for Mother's Day back in Spanish Grove Missionary Baptist Church, we getting ready for Mother's Day. You had those nice outfits. Girl had the nice dresses. And what you would do, you were not supposed to get yourself dirty before the service. Are y'all still in the house in here? And I remember times that me and my brother, we'd go out and we decided that we wanted to play or we wanted to do something and we'd get a little spot on our clothes. Here come mama. Lord have mercy. Here come mama. And right after she would chastise us, then she would clean us up. Are y'all not going to let me talk to you in here? Your God loved you so much that every time you get some dirt, he said, wait a minute, come here, let me clean you up. Come here, let me turn you around. Come here, you're walking in the wrong direction. I'm telling you that we serve this amazing God who loves you. Oh, to be kept by Jesus, kept by the power of God, kept from the world, unspotted, traveling where Jesus has trod. Oh, to be kept by Jesus, Lord, at thy feet I fall. I would be nothing, nothing know nothing, but thou shalt be all and all. I want you to think about that. The one that keeps you. Let's pray. God, thank you. You've been working on me all week. Just remind me that you're being kept. You're being kept. That's why you haven't died. Yeah, bad things happen, but I came in and I helped you out. I walk with you and I tell you that you are all mine. Thank you for that assurance. Bless somebody who may be doubting, someone online that may be doubting whether or not Jesus loves them. Remind them today that your love is from everlasting to everlasting. I pray this in the strong and mighty name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Before we get ready to close today, I want to thank you all again for coming out, but I want to give someone an opportunity. Maybe you're online and watching. Maybe you're sitting here in this audience. A lot of thoughts going through your mind. A lot of doubts come in. They come in mine as well. But when I remind myself I'm kept by Jesus, all the doubt clears up. That can be the same for you today. All you've got to do is open your heart and talk to him. He's your God. He's your God. And he wants to be your Savior. Trust him today. Believe in him. And just say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Deliver me. Let me walk with you. And he will do just that. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap. We're going to go two things. We're going to pray over the communion. Each of you, when you came in, and for those of you that are joining online, you can share with us in the communion. Y'all got one? I didn't get one, so I got one. Oh, yeah. Anybody missed? I got two up here. Now I'm gonna have to flip my mask, but I'm not gonna preach and do. But I just wanna let you know that God is good. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. And he said to his disciples, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take this in remembrance of me." Let us take together. Likewise, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament that is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us take the cup and drink together. Lord, we thank you for these sacraments. Thank you not only for the celebration of your gift, but also what it means in our life to serve a loving God, to serve a gracious God that blesses us. I thank you for how we've taken it, we received it, and may we always rejoice and give you thanks for your blessings and your security. I ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I'm going to ask Reverend Gibbons to come back and bless the offering, and then Reverend Ray to come and close us out with the benediction. Y'all, do y'all know that God loves you? That he is your keeper? Amen. Amen.
How great is our God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound to save the wretch like me. Father God, we are so thankful for your love and for your goodness, for the joy of knowing how great you are. We thank you for keeping us. We pray for the offering.
I know that's difficult.
It'll be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. And Father, that you'll be magnified through it all. We thank you that we're able to give, and as you gave to us, eternal life. We thank you and love you for what you've done and all that you're going to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Amen.
May we stand. Can you repeat after me? Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. For the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. 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 Go in peace.